The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel reminds us all that the Father has all the Son has, and in turn, all the Holy Spirit will declare to his disciples is of the whole Godhead, the entire Trinity. The hallmark of our Christian faith is that there is only one God in three persons, or we risk writing off God in one way or another by considering the Father as aloof, utterly transcended and beyond our daily lives and interests, or authoritarian, by considering Jesus as just another rabbi or a wise man, sharing some human teachings with us and giving us a good example, nothing really more than a social worker, or considering the Holy Spirit as just another one of those flighty inspirations and sentiments that never results in anything. Today's readings, though, remind us that everything we are, everything for which we hope, and everything expected of us, and even what we expect from God, comes to us from the whole Godhead, the Blessed Trinity. In the first reading, we see the Trinity relishing in the creation of the world. The wisdom of God is speaking and reminiscing of the moment of creation. He describes himself as the forerunner of God's wonders before the earth was made. In these words, we are reminded that God the Father made the world with his Son in mind, gazing upon him in eternity with love. The Son, in turn, begotten by the Father, as we profess in the Creed, delights over creation and also in the human race. This harkens back to the first chapters of Genesis, when the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep, ready to begin creation with, "Let there be light." When the Lord creates man, he breathes in his own spirit, a spirit of life, making him a living being and wanting to create men in his own image and likeness. We see that same spirit of play and artistic relish that reminds us of God's total freedom to create us without any need and restraint, and with us in mind as his true masterpieces, made in his image. In creating man, the Trinity had an even more special masterpiece in mind, a masterpiece that would in part craft itself. He gave us the freedom to conform our lives to this masterpiece of life that he wanted to see brought about in each of us. In faith and in love, we could trust in him to show us the way to be a true masterpiece, a masterpiece of moral beauty, of truth, and love. When Adam and Eve sinned, they chose their distorted image of God as the model to imitate, and the image of God, as a result, was disfigured in them. As a result, just as God warned them before eating the fruit, spiritual death was the consequence. Nevertheless, God's delight in us and desire for our glory would not let the story in there. But as the second reading reminds us, God became man to show us that true masterpiece and image of God that he had in mind from all eternity. St. Paul reminds us through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace and access to the glory of God. God created the world with his Son's image in mind, and Jesus, by becoming flesh, by becoming a man, shows us exactly what God had on his mind when he created us. That image of God found in Christ shows us how we can restore the image of God in us that was disfigured by sin. By Christ becoming man, our likeness is restored as well. The flow of spiritual life is reopened by Jesus' passion, his death, and poured into us by the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Full of that divine life, we happily put up with the sufferings and struggles of daily life, knowing that the glory of God eventually awaits us. And finally, the gospel reminds us that God is not just the origin of our existence, but he is its purpose as well. He is the end toward which we're all headed. It's not the end in terms of being finished. It's the beginning of eternal life in the immediate presence of the Holy Trinity. Jesus became man and suffered and died to reconcile the world with God, the Father of mercies. And he does this by sending his Holy Spirit. He promised the disciples during the Last Supper that the Holy Spirit, of which Jesus was full during his earthly mission, would come after his ascension into heaven to constantly keep Christ among us and give us life through the sacraments, as well as guidance and strength to be faithful to the image of God that Jesus Christ had restored in us. As the Lord, the giver of life, the Holy Spirit continues to keep the church united around Christ, proclaiming the gospel to the world through her words and example. He reminds us that the Holy Spirit will not say anything apart from what the Father and Son share. The Trinity is and always will be united as the source of our existence, our hope, and our life. A simple definition of the term masterpiece says that it's a work done with extraordinary skill. In the Middle Ages, it was a piece of work presented to a guild as evidence that its artist should be considered a master. Every work of the Most Holy Trinity is a work done with flawless skill, especially the creation of human beings. That flawless skill is seen above all in God the Son, the Lord Jesus, and he is a work in progress that can be a masterpiece if we work with the artist instead of against him. The Lord has endowed us with the ability to master ourselves with skill, becoming the masterpieces he wants us to be, but always, always, always by cooperating with his grace. Self-mastery is key to a good Christian life. The cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude are one way of measuring the masterpieces we're trying to become. Do you strive to consider your options and make good decisions for all involved, not being rash or hasty? If so, then you're prudent. Are you always fair toward others and in your expectations? If so, then you're just. Are you resolute and able to weather difficulties and trials while remaining firm in your convictions and in your faith? If yes, then you're courageous. Do you strive to use created goods in a way that is good for you, good in the Lord's eyes, and good for others? If yes, then you're temperate. This week, I encourage you to take some time to reflect on how you're doing in cooperating with the Lord's grace as he guides you in mastering yourself and becoming the masterpiece you were created to be.